wrote it not so much as a matter of a dying man making peace with God, or as an insurance policy that he would be saved because he believed the right things. But rather, he was concerned that people would say that he said things that he never said. So he wanted to set the records straight. So in the last part of one of the last pieces that he wrote, he said, "First, I believe with my whole heart the sublime article of the majesty of God, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, are by nature one and true, genuine God, maker of heaven and earth." And then being Luther, in complete opposition to the Arians, Macedonians, Sabellians, and similar heretics. Genesis 1:1. All this has been maintained up to this time both in the Roman Church and among Christian churches throughout the world. That's how he began, with this Trinitarian formula. Luther grounded this confession, at least the first part of it, in Genesis 1:1. That in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In that incredible moment, Luther found the wholeness of what God was up to in the world. God was present when everything began. God was present in the creation of the heavens and the earth. Luther concluded that God was present even in the whole world in God, was present through history and will be present to the very, very end. Well, big deal, you might say. But think about this. Luther came to the conclusion that God was present in everything, even the difficult relationship with his father. He came to this conclusion that God was present even as he struggled in the cloister and did battle with evil demons and even, from his own account, the devil himself. Luther ended up at the end of his life concluding that God was present in all things, even though he had lonely, deep, and horrible nights of the longing of his soul and soul-tearing depression. God was present, he thinks, as he watched family and friends, even whole cities, die horrible deaths of the Black Plague and flu and dysentery. God was present. For Luther, God was even present as tens of thousands of peasants were laid to waste in the Peasants' Rebellion, for which his ideas and writings played no small part. God was present even there. So much so that he would write, "First, I believe with my whole heart the sublime article of the majesty of God, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, are by nature one true and genuine God." Put in its historical perspective, I think it's quite remarkable that Luther, in this horrible time of our history, concludes nonetheless that God is present and genuine and involved. I wonder, do we still feel that presence of God as God's people? That real and palpable presence of God? Do we still feel it today? In the midst of terror attacks against London? Growing unrest in the Middle East? Do we still feel the presence of God? Do we still feel the presence of God in the midst of disturbing political inquiries in Washington, D.C., a growing homeless population in Honolulu, the death of children from hunger and disease and poverty here in our own nation? Do we still feel the presence of God? It may be the one question that we need to address as God's people and as a church. While I'm not sure that the doctrine of the Holy Trinity in any adequate way describes accurately or sufficiently the nature or work of God, what the symbol of the Trinity does serve, it does serve as a powerful reminder of God's presence even in the midst of war and laughter and suffering and tragedy and hopelessness and despair and excitement. This symbol of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remind us more than anything else of God's true and enduring presence. Even at the end of his life, as he was dying, and his gut was wrenched with pain, and he was not at his best, trust me, Luther still professed this God. With Luther, I think, despite all of my years of study and my work together and all of the evidence that I have seen that could have led me in a different way, I truly profess that I find the work of God in the presence of God in the words of Jesus. And to this day, I still profess that God remains with us, comforting us and prodding us in that which we inadequately refer to as the Holy Spirit. With so many of people, of God's people, we lift up this thing we call the Trinity, not because we want to prove that we are true Christians or that we follow a particular doctrine or so that we can mark that box off on our confirmation day or so that we can be counted among a particular kind of people. We profess the presence of the Trinity because we profess the presence of God. Jesus says, remember that I will be with you always through this beloved creation of God, through hope and hopelessness, through triumph and tragedy. I will be with you. The beloved creation of God, made of water and word and dirt and breath. That is the world to which we have been sent as stewards of this great creation with which God has gifted us. And in the midst of it, in the midst of us, in the midst of all of the joy and the laughter and the pain and uncertainty and disappointment, God chooses to remain Emmanuel, God with us. God remains. I suspect that at the end of my life, I will not, as Luther did, feel a need to defend what I have said or defend myself from detractors. But rather, I think for me, I will sum up the only part of the Trinity that I can even begin to apprehend in this crazy, strange, mixed up, violent, and lovely world. That God is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.